Often we think that God has given us gifts which are not appreciated. We feel resentful and bitter.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about a sovereign Lord and human responsibility, two things which theologians will never succeed in satisfying our intellects by explaining, but two things which are unequivocally taught in Scripture. It's my purpose on Gateway to Joy to present the clear teaching of the Bible. I'm trying to do that by giving you passages throughout the Bible which represent these truths, the mystery of the sovereign God and a broken world. The world wouldn't be broken if that first man and woman named Adam and Eve had not decided to disobey. Well, who knows? I think probably I would have if things had been perfect up until now. The fall of man, a deliberate disobedience. Now, please don't imagine yourself helpless in becoming a Christian or in learning to live like one. I receive many letters from people who tell me that they just can't do it. They don't know how to be a Christian. They don't know how to live like one. Or they think they've been Christians for years, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence in their lives. Jesus has said, "Come to me." You have heard that word. He says, "Believe in me." He says, "Do what I say." You must will to do it, and His grace will meet you there. I read from a woman named Elizabeth Charles, about whom I know nothing except that she was from the 19th century. She said, "Let us be very careful of thinking, on the one hand, that we have no work assigned us to do, or, on the other hand, that what we have assigned to us is not the right thing for us. If ever we can say in our hearts to God in reference to any daily duty, 'This is not my place, I would choose something dearer, I am capable of something higher,' we are guilty not only of rebellion, but of blasphemy. It's equivalent to saying not only, 'My heart revolts against thy commands,' but 'Thy commands are unwise, thine almighty guidance is unskillful, thine omniscient eye has mistaken the capacities of thy creature, thy infinite love is indifferent to the welfare of thy child.'" Often we think that God has given us gifts which are not appreciated by our family, by our church, by our employer. We feel resentful and bitter because we have all these talents, all this to give to the world, and we're frustrated and hampered because there doesn't seem to be any scope for those gifts. I believe that God has given many more gifts to all of us than any of us can possibly use in this world. I think that the day is coming when God is going to show us how those gifts can be used, but it might be in the new heaven and the new earth. We really don't know the answer to that. It's been amazing as I look back over my life to see how, when I was a young person trying to discern what the will of God was for me, I recognized one gift that God had given to me, and I didn't know about that gift until I was in college. It was a gift in linguistics, and it was partly because of that that I felt God wanted me to do Bible translation work. And I did that kind of work, and I was very grateful for the gift of learning languages and the gift of working on them in reducing them to writing and translating the Bible. It's a great gift, and I couldn't possibly have done it without that gift which came from God. I know that nothing that I've ever done I could have done by myself. But then that gift was withdrawn, or should I say, the work that I did as a result of that gift. It apparently came to nothing, humanly speaking. I knew nothing about writing books, but I was forced into writing a book when my first husband was killed. I've been writing books ever since. I used to take singing lessons. I thought perhaps God had given me a gift of a voice. But there's no way that God wants me to exercise all of the gifts that He's given me all at one time, and perhaps never in this life. When I was a child, I was absolutely fascinated with medicine. I'm still fascinated with medicine. I love to hear doctors talk. I love to ask questions of my doctor. I think I might have made a good doctor. I wanted to be a surgeon. I registered in college for a pre-med course. I've never been a doctor. I've never been a nurse. I was a good quack when I lived in the eastern jungle of Ecuador. There were a lot of people coming to me because I had pills and worm medicine and penicillin and a few things like that. But I think we can reasonably assume that the giver of our gifts knows when and where and how those gifts should be exercised. May God preserve us from the blasphemy that Elizabeth Charles speaks of here in this passage. If we tell the Lord, "This is not my place, I would choose something dearer, I am capable of something higher," we're guilty not only of rebellion, but of blasphemy, because it's the same as saying to the Lord, "Your commands are unwise, your guidance is unskillful, your omniscient eye has mistaken the capacities of your creature. Your love is indifferent to the welfare of your child." Would you really say that to God? Probably not. But yet, the attitude is a dead giveaway, isn't it? Oswald Chambers said that in speaking of God's demand of death to ourselves, Jesus Christ has no tenderness whatever toward anything that is ultimately going to ruin a man in the service of God. If the Son of God brings to your mind a word of the Lord that hurts you, you may be sure that there is something He wants to hurt to death. Let me read that again. Oswald Chambers always packs so much into so few words. Speaking of death to ourselves, which is required of us as Christians, Chambers says, "Jesus Christ has no tenderness whatever toward anything that is ultimately going to ruin a man in the service of God. If the Son of God brings to your mind a word of the Lord that hurts you, you may be sure that there is something He wants to hurt to death." I had a phone call from a girl who claimed that she wanted to do God's will, but she couldn't. Some of you are perhaps in the same boat. You have handicaps, obstacles, impossibilities. But I would like to ask, is it literally true that we are not able to perform God's commandments? Are we absolutely helpless to do what we know we ought to do? No. We are able. We've been given the power to do what He wants us to do. That's not our problem. What is? The simple, earnest, sincere inclination and aim to use what God has given us and what we have in us, His power, to make free choices. When this girl told me that she wanted to do God's will but she couldn't, I said, "But you can will to do what you want to do, can't you?" And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well," I said, "you picked up the phone to call me, didn't you?" There was a silence. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." The responsibilities, the ventures, the obligations which press upon us with all their conditions and unknown possibilities, these present us with the question to be answered. Will I do what is right? Will I do what pleases God here? The true response, that is the response of a true man and a true woman and a true child of God is, "I will, Lord, anything you say." The result of a habit formed through countless nameless acts of conscientious obedience. God gives us emotions, intellect, imagination, but these are not the highest powers. Our will is the highest power given to us at creation, the power to eat breakfast or not to eat it, to love somebody or hate them, to turn the radio on or off, and, let's not make any excuses here, to will God's will. The girl on the phone did not really want his will. She didn't like it, and she was actually choosing the misery she found herself in. God wants to free her, and you and me, from our misery. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are tired and overburdened. I will give you rest." But he presented the conditions on which we may receive that rest. "Take my yoke." That, I believe, means the will of the Father. Accept it. Be gentle, humble in heart. Choose my way, the only possible way to be freed from sin, which is the root cause of all our troubles. Have you offered your will to God?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.